2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It is another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell, always to my right, unless he's not, of course. But tonight is one of those nights that he is. Sunglasses in the studio. He thinks he's cooler than he actually is. Scott, everything good?
Everything okay? It's all a mindset, you know. Perception is reality.
Hey, all gas, no brakes. That's the motto of this show.
Yeah, I like it.
Boy, there's a lot of gas, though, in there.
Ooh, boy.
We were watching.
I mean, we used to wear masks before there was COVID.
Well, that's all I'm saying. There was a
hazmat suit.
We joke about this because there's an NFL coach that his big motto is all gas, no brakes. And obviously, that's a go fast, go hard, whatever you want to do.
We had other names for it, which I can't say.
Yes, you can't repeat them, but. It's just fun to see how those things pass down from generation to generation. And so we're going to keep that mindset this evening. So as we jump in here, it's a 7:05 cut, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the changes. Now, we're also going to be giving you some updates on this Eastern Conference Finals. I had a little revelation given to me from my son that I'm going to adopt. He goes, Dad, who do you want to win the finals? I go, I don't know. If the Clippers win, it makes the Jazz look better. I don't know. These Eastern Conference teams, no one really wins those. He goes, Dad, anybody from the Eastern Conference. And I said, that's actually a pretty good thought, right? Because I like the Bucks. You know, I'm okay with the Hawks. I like Nate McMillan. He was a Seattle Supersonic for some time. So I'm okay. Any team in the East, no Western teams. That's my new motto. So
why?
Because.
Why?
Because these two Eastern teams I like.
What does it have to do with the liking? You should pick a team from the West. So basically what you're saying is you don't like Phoenix or the Clippers, and you'd rather see a team from the East win.
Right.
Got it.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And so and I don't hate these two teams in the East. I didn't. Like, if it was the Nets and the 76ers, we'd have a real problem. We're going to start things off, though, talking a little bit about – and by the way, it's right now the Bucks are leading by just a touch over the Atlanta Hawks here in the first quarter, 38-29 in the second quarter. So we're going to kick things off talking about name, image, likeness. Sure. The NCAA Supreme Court ruling, why not? All those things jumping in right now. It's a 7:05 cut. Let's see.
The cut at 7:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer. Scott, I was, as we were getting ready for the show, as we were talking about all the things that were coming up. Now, Tom Holmo, the athletic director for BYU, weighed in, actually, on the topic of the name, image, likeness stuff. And I think that, the reality is that you're going to have multiple states on July 1 that are going to have an absolute interesting thing happen, which is going to be new laws are going to drop that day, and superseding the NCAA's wishes of people being paid for sponsorship, things like that at the collegiate level, it will be legal in certain states to be able to receive payment as a college student athlete. And this is going to cause headaches for the NCAA right now. My question is what if you just started paying guys right now and just said, NCAA, figure it out. Do you think that this is, in my mind...
Well, that's what these laws are saying.
I know.
That they can do that.
And I'm for it. Like, just start doing it. Because the NCAA has to get pushed somehow. Some of these students that are getting all these views on social media and could get thousands and thousands of dollars in sponsorships because of the visibility they have, not the school, that they have, that the school uses, but that they can't use. As soon as this law drops in multiple of these states, you're going to see players who are going to just say, you know what, I'm jumping in full head of steam. And some of these schools are going to be right there along with them.
See, I think the NCAA actually has already given in. I really do. That has been the biggest surprise to me, is there's not, you just don't get a lot of pushback. You used to get this, these athletes can't get paid, and then all of a sudden it was like crickets from everyone. All of these universities are starting to put together plans on how can we involve the students in internships and BYU's done it, Utah's done it, all these schools are doing it. No one is fighting this from the institutional side. And what I find fascinating is the NCAA is like the bully, right? Like they've been the big bully. They're the ones who they have the laws and they kind of dictate terms as who gets what and how things happen. And you've seen some of the sanctions that have come from the NCAA to some of these schools, and you're just like, wow. They're the voice. They're the all knowing, all everything.
It's embarrassing now to look back at it.
And now, right? And now they're just like they literally have rolled over. It reminds me of the movie A Christmas Story, when the little boy Ralphie is being picked on by the bully Scott Farkas.
Scott Farkas. I was like, he's going to know his name, and you did.
Of course, I did. And he finally realizes that I've just had it with the bully.
Yes.
And he confronts the bully, right? And he's never bullied again. And that's what the NCAA has felt like to me. And I'm like, wow, they finally had their Ralphie moment, these players in college football, and they stood up to the bully, and the bully just rolled over.
So the NCAA rolled out because of the ruling, and because July 1st is coming right up around the corner here, Scott.
Like soon. Wow, where did June go?
With July 1 happening, this is going to change a lot of things. So here's what the NCAA, here's what Mark Emmert, the NCAA president, boy, could you be a bigger villain right now in all of collegiate sports? Now that we've had time to analyze Monday's Supreme Court decision, as if they figured it all out, by the way, now that we've had time to analyze it, I wanted to update you on what the key takeaways are going to be for us. The Alston ruling, Alston versus the NCAA, leaves collegiate athletics where it was before the case was taken up by the court and provides additional clarity, but not definitiveness. Here's what we now know. The decision affirmed the NCAA's authority to adopt reasonable rules, and we are free to articulate what are and what are not truly educational benefits. So, NIL aside, they are going to articulate what educational benefits are, consistent to their mission of supporting student athletes. Now, you see how they're already kind of digging in here? Now, the court said that we can actually adopt these reasonable rules. They also said that they could provide, schools could provide unlimited resources if it was tied to the education of, in some way. The court found the NCAA should be subject to full antitrust analysis of student athlete compensation laws, and the court dismissed the NCAA reliance on language within the 1984 Board of Regents. You are seeing this turnover right before our eyes, Scott. The next month is going to be the Wild West, and I'm excited. I can't wait when that first commercial pops up on TV, and it's like, hey, I'm Jaren Hall, and I love, hey, it's me, Charlie Brewer. I'm new into town, and when I want to move my stuff, I use Bailey's Moving in Storage. I can't wait for those first commercials to roll out. I love using this toothbrush on their Instagram account. I don't care. Whatever it is, let's let the players do this. We're going to come right back. We got more to go here on the program. When we return, oh my heavens, when we come back, we're going to talk about the Team USA basketball roster going to the Olympics. Are these guys going to bring you a gold medal? We'll talk about it next. Stay with us.
All right, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery here in the middle of the week. It's hump day, right? So it's all downhill from here.
It's hump day there, right?
It's old hump day.
Why'd
there.
Why'd you go Midwestern on
Did
there?
I go a little Midwestern
I think you're watching the Milwaukee there? Bucks there, and you're getting a little bit of that
Midwestern.
I want Midwestern.
A brat. Can I get a brat, please?
The Bucks now up only one now.
Oh,
this one game's over.
Look, I saw this thing. It's from the NFL, and of course they've always had the combine for the NFL draft in Indianapolis. Do you know why they've had it in Indianapolis?
That's for the headquarters of the NCAA, I thought.
No, this is the NFL.
I know.
No,
that's maybe they were
isn't
close.
Isn't that like in Bloomington, Indiana or something? Like
yeah,
that?
I mean, I don't know. I never knew why it was there.
I'll tell you why.
There is a
reason for this.
St. Elmo's Steakhouse.
No, but that was a secondary reason. The main reason is it's geographically located kind of in the center of the U.S.
Yeah, I kind of get that.
And they have a dome. Right, so you're not
it's
so
not
you
going to be messed up.
Do all
the
tests and everything.
Yeah,
you know, you think of a place like Cincinnati, maybe that's kind of more center.
Garbage.
It's not really that, but there's no indoor facility.
There isn't.
No, so well, not in Cincinnati.
You think all these places that they go, gosh, it's going to be a cold one. Just put a dome over
coldest
the roof.
Game I ever played was in Cincinnati.
Was in Cincinnati?
Oh, boy, it was.
Oh,
awful.
It was. Yeah. It wasn't in.
Wasn't in Green Bay. It wasn't in Chicago.
Wow.
It was in, yeah. But the NFL is putting out bids to change the location of the combine, which I think is weird.
Could we make an effort here?
Well, it's an NFL system. Possibly.
It just said bids. We'll bid on it. And they're always trying to open up. Look.
I mean, maybe yeah,
they don't care. They don't care what city it's in as long as you don't have to have an NFL franchise there, I'm assuming.
I mean, I guess you could do all
the franchises
testing.
The ones bidding?
Well, there's a franchise in Indianapolis.
I know, but I'm saying are they the ones doing the bidding or is it just cities bidding?
No, it's NFL franchises.
Oh, okay. Right.
Same for Super Bowls. They're
you know who, I'm already going to tell you who's going to win. Las Vegas Raiders. Everybody's going to want to go there.
Oh, that's
are you kidding?
That's a no-brainer. Why didn't I? You know what? The Raiders.
That's how you test.
The Raiders don't even have to bid,
Scott. That's how you test these college kids too. You're all, hey, combine's early in the morning. Hey, tomorrow we're going to run 40s at 8 a.m. Yeah. And you don't do it. What you do is you wait outside their hotel and you have a stopwatch. But you're in full coach's gear, and when they walk out of the door and it's 7:58, you go click. You go. You were going to be late, son.
The NFL doesn't care about stuff like that. That's a college thing. In fact, the NFL is like, we want to hold this as late in the afternoon as we possibly can.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
because you know it's when in Vegas, it stays.
Well,
in Vegas,
baby. That's where the combine
that would be a perfect
shall
place.
Be held.
Yes.
And you know what? What's going to be great about that for us is we'll be able to go to it.
Of course.
And we'll be able to cover it. All right, Scott. I want to talk about Team USA basketball. Do you care about Dream Team?
I do care.
The Dream Team turned it all around for us, right?
I care.
And then at one point, you remember the year 2000, because we were only 8 years removed from
the Dream Team. Yeah.
And we lost, I think we got, did we get the bronze medal or did we even lose that? Argentina won the gold, and it was like this weird thing where we just, like, it was not us.
Not good.
And they said, we are not going to be embarrassed like this again. We lost in the World Championships, I think, too, at some point in that stretch. And we made some changes. And we went back to Team USA basketball where it's like, hey, we got to win gold medals. And it is more competitive now than it ever has been. And we have a bunch of guys who are either hurt or just saying, nah, I'm not going to play. Team USA's 12-man roster looks like this. Kevin Durant, Damian Lillard. This is as of today. Kevin Durant, Damian Lillard, Bradley Beal, Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, Zach LaVine, Kevin Love, Bam Adebayo, Draymond Green, Drew Holiday, spelled with a J, by the way. I always love the spelling of Drew Holiday. Chris Middleton and Jeremy Grant. That's a tremendous team. And yet, not a ton of star power in there. You've got Kevin Durant, who's the best basketball player in the world, probably. Damian Lillard,
obviously.
I think it
kind of surprised me. Kevin Durant surprised me just a little bit.
That he went on that list?
That he actually went on
the list. He's a two-time winner of a gold medal.
Yeah.
He could be the all-time leading scorer in U.S. history, passing up Scott Mitchell.
I'm going to say anybody? Michael Jordan.
Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony did a long stretch with Team USA.
Really?
Won tons of gold medals with him. And Kevin Durant could win his third gold medal. I love when these guys, when it means something to
these
guys.
I feel really bad that Donovan Mitchell declined to play.
You got an idea that his ankle's pretty bad.
Yeah, clearly
today, right?
That. But, I mean, he seems like a guy that would definitely want to do that. And maybe, you know, he went and played, what is it, the FIBA stuff a few years ago. And
yeah, the FIBA stuff.
Yeah. And he, you wonder if he's like, yeah, that's a lot. It really
listen, it's
takes
a pretty
a toll
hefty
on
schedule
for the next season. And,
But some of these guys like Devin Booker, I'm trying to think who else is in the playoffs right now. Chris Middleton, they're playing right now. They could go as far as like July 22nd, just a couple of weeks before the before.
I mean, the Olympics could be good because there's so many international players that are playing in the NBA right now that are really good players.
Can we grant some citizenship quickly to Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Well, that was kind of a name I wondered about.
Giannis, just call him Giannis Jones from now on.
Johnny Jones.
Johnny Jones
plays in Milwaukee.
Yeah, he's as American as it gets. He's from Milwaukee. He drives a Harley Davidson.
Right. He's from Milwaukee.
Come on.
Like, you can't get more of the, you know, middle America than
there.
Milwaukee.
So,
you know?
I'm just saying, with that lineup, one, there are guys that I don't like on this lineup. I don't really care for Draymond Green. I don't like Devin Booker that much. Bradley Beal bothers me. Kevin Durant, I'm hit or miss on. But when it comes to the Olympics, I put it all aside. I'm 100% like, if you guys don't beat down on Serbia, I'm going to be mad.
The Olympics is about national pride, okay? And it's just about it, more than anything. And so you want the most medals. You want your teams to win. You want people in the world to know that the best basketball in the world happens in the United States.
James Harden dropped out, by the way.
Right. It has nothing to do with, like, amateurism.
No.
This is a way to kind of wave your flag and be really important in the world. It's a national pride.
What's
thing.
Amazing too is that, like I said, European and just international basketball has gotten so good over the years, and you know it's been good for decades now. But it's at its best right now. Basketball's never been more popular. These European leagues are really, really good now. They're very competitive, and so when you see these guys come in and they start. And they start playing against Team USA, and they know the only thing that everybody else in the world wants to, or everybody in your country wants you to do, is beat Team USA. Is go out there. Team USA is the Russia of the 80s, right? That's the one who's just like, they're making movies with us as the bad guys, right? They're making Mighty Ducks, and like we are the team that's in the full black uniforms that are mean to the other players, and the comeback story is always this. They had their own Miracle on Ice when Team USA lost in that early Olympics. We have the chance every year to come back, figure this thing out, and the roster's put together. I think it's a pretty good 12-man roster. I just don't know if it's elite. I don't know if it's elite.
I loved the 92 team, okay? But I collected
the McDonald's cups.
But what I loved about it was they had this documentary, and they showed John Stockton, and he gets out of the bus because the bus is stuck in traffic, and he's just walking down the street. Nobody knows who he is, and he actually goes up to someone and talks to them and said, "Oh, you know about their because the person had a Dream Team T-shirt on, and asking the players and said, "Oh, you like the John Stockton? Oh, love John Stockton. He's amazing." And John Stockton's right there. It's awesome.
Oh, my goodness. He does look like...
He does not look like a Dream Team player.
He looks
player.
Like he'd be like your uncle, you know? And you not. Go... Like, the one who doesn't want to talk to you at family reunions. He's like, get out of here, kid. All right. Let's take the break here. I'm rooting for Team USA. And the most...
Well, who else would you root for if you're not going to...
It's not about rooting for... It's the fact that a lot of these guys I don't like at all.
Oh.
And then,
but you can root for them.
And then suddenly I go, Kevin
situation.
Durant, I want you to absolutely dunk on that guy from Croatia, man. I want Luka Doncic to be embarrassed by you, man. That's what I'm saying. They're going up against this really, really tough competition on the European level. Let's take a break here. We've got news, traffic, and weather, and then when we come back, we have a Ask Scott Anything. If you didn't get your way in the NFL, would you just quit football? One quarterback says he would. Plus, I've got a question about all these quarterback schools that these guys are going to in college now.
The gurus.
We'll come back with our guru, Scott Mitchell, next, right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled. ASA. Ask Scott Anything. Insider questions, candid answers, nothing's off limits. Just don't make it awkward. It's Ask Scott Anything.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. We're asking him anything here. You can even send a text in, 57500. You can participate by asking Scott anything. Ask a former NFL quarterback any darn thing that you want. That's about the, not just about the NFL. Ask him anything you want. This is a well-traveled man, all right? Well-rounded as well. Just had a lot. Has a lot going on. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I'm trying to be less rounded.
You can do That's why we're watching our figures here. You don't want to be as rounded. One of the things that, before we get into asking, well, I mean, this is part of it too. What, like, were you, as a collegiate athlete, were you like, because I know, and I know you were married early at a young age,
right,
too. So, like, you're in college, you're married,
right,
on top of being a collegiate athlete. And so what would have changed, what would you have wanted changed for your experience at the University of Utah in terms of, like, I don't feel like I'm getting a fair shake here because of, you know, you guys had full scholarships, obviously, but what would you have changed for you personally that would have made it like, hey, this is actually like hard right now, and it shouldn't be this hard as a college athlete?
Well, one of the things you couldn't work when you were enrolled in school.
Like it was so was your it ability to have, no,
yeah, it was against the rules.
Right.
I still think it's against the rules.
It is. Yeah.
And so you get a little bit of money every month, and you're like all these other students who are full time students. They have the ability to go work while they're in school. And then you have, at the time, BYU was on the semester system. Utah was on the quarter system.
Yeah.
So we would get out of school in, like, the end of May, where at BYU they're out in, like, April.
Yeah, still the case, yeah.
And then they go back a lot later. We didn't go back. Well, I think they were at the end of August or somewhere. They went back to school.
So you're saying you didn't really have a summer to.
I had maybe a couple of months to make any kind of money. And I would work any break. So Christmas break, spring break, all of that. I found ways to work and to make money.
Did you ever have anybody approach you like, hey, you're Utah's quarterback. I'll give you a cool job. I'll give you a great job.
Well, I had a good.
That overpaid you or something?
I had a good summer job. I worked hard for it.
What's that laugh? What's that? You couldn't even get that out.
The jobs were kind of they were a joke for what we got paid. And most of us, there weren't.
What did you do?
I had a good summer job.
What'd you do?
I was a sports camp director at the sports mall.
Oh, the one down at
and that's 9th East and
down there. Yeah, I got you.
Fun place. Yeah. Tom Buxton was an amazing guy. Like he was a great. He's.
What would you get paid back then?
$20 an hour.
That's a lot back in 1980.
Yeah,
because I was in college. I had like a regular job. And I was getting.
Well, my job was. I mean, I was a 9 to 5.
You were
guy,
a sports right? director. You were there. Yeah, what were you? That's my title now. But
I was the
director.
Camp director.
Okay.
So we would go on the indoor tennis courts, and I'd get the ball feeding machine.
Yeah.
And we play home run derby. That was at the end of the day. Okay. That was like the treat. But I taught these kids how to.
But
play
again,
basketball.
You couldn't do that during the regular season. Like, oh but, no. But you know, so for me,
it was an awesome summer job.
I wasn't a collegiate athlete, but. When I did my internships that were free, by the way, like not paid internships,
right,
which is a racket. It's a giant. That's a giant joke, right?
Yeah.
So I'd do the free internship, and I did a couple of them. Did one up in Seattle. Did one, you know, where my parents are from. I did one over the summer in Seattle at KJR, and then I come down here and I do another one at a sports station here in town, and that's all while I'm holding down a job.
Right, yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself, because I was getting like $16.50 or $17 an hour at my job, and that was like really, really
Could
high
you do
paying
that
for Provo.
During the school year?
Yes, yeah, and that was the other thing is that you're doing the school. So I had a full – and I was working for BYU too. It wasn't just like
– But you can make it work though.
We made it work. Of course you did. And you know what I did? I left school with no debt.
Right.
And part of that is because I was on half scholarship. Thanks to mom and dad. I mean,
the money was the hard thing, Alex. That was a hard thing.
Like getting by. When you see players who go, we go to bed sometimes with not enough to eat. And I'd roll my eyes and go, yeah, right. You guys get pool tables in your locker rooms.
See,
we
didn't have any of that. We didn't have a training table.
Right.
We had it during the season and we got dinner. That's insane. That was it. That was That's all we got.
See, yeah.
And now they have a facility and they have breakfast and lunch. And
right.
All.
So here's what they say. Here's what they say in the NCAA. Here's what Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA, said too. He said that Supreme Court opinion provided. It provided a narrow opinion that left intact the rulemaking authority of the NCAA schools to differentiate between benefits that turn college athletes into professionals. So getting benefits of, hey, I actually want to go pro in this sport, so I want to be able to get those benefits that way, and between benefits that turn college athletes into a professional and something else, so appropriate for supporting students in their education.
Well, that's
so
broad.
They said this is a critical point in the decision. And they say that they have to figure out. I mean, it's not a play. Having just a straight up play for pay, or pay for play, is a tough deal. And you can't to just pay them for that is one thing. The real problem is, and again, now I'm blurring the lines a little bit with the name, image, likeness thing. But I've told you this before. You go into any of these bookstores across the country, you look at who the starting quarterback is for that school. That will be the number, or the running back that is the, you know, Doak Walker Award winner. That will be the number on the jersey that's sold in the bookstore, and it won't have their name on the back, but it'll say Nike on it, or it'll say Adidas on it, it'll say Under Armour on it, but it'll have that number of that person on that is that quarterback, that is that running back. We know exactly who that is, and the school and Nike are benefiting massively from that, and I guarantee Nike wants these kids to get paid. I guarantee. Look. We've heard of the people who have tried
Nike's
to pay them.
Nike's going to go and, yeah,
they're going to make deals with these guys anyway.
Absolutely.
And so
they probably – what they'll probably do is they'll make a deal, or they'll extend the deal, or as part of the deal for these schools, they'll include players. So they'll have a budget and they'll say, okay, we'll give players X number of dollars depending on whatever, who they are. I could totally see that. Is that the only question you were going
to
ask?
No. I've got one more to ask you just real quick before we go to break here. Next question here, because we're going to get into that quarterback topic coming up, so we'll be kind of doing both. But real quick here, though, Scott. Derek Carr says he would quit football if he's not playing for the Raiders.
That's just a
what?
Puffing his chest.
He's just bloviating.
If he was let go by the Raiders, he'd change his tune.
So but he's saying.
I mean, I understand the whole thing of, you know, I'm here, I'm invested, I'm committed. I'm loyal, coach. I got all this. That stuff means nothing. Because as soon as their value is gone, they're going to be gone. And these athletes are super competitive. Even Derek Carr. And he's going to go, they jilted me, they did this, they did whatever. And he's going to go on to the next thing. And he might go on to the next thing and go, it's a whole lot better than being with the Raiders. Or it may be worse. I don't know. But he's not going to just quit football. The guys just don't. For the most part, quit. There's some guys that quit, but most of them don't.
All right, let's take the break here. We'll come back. We've got our MVPs next. In the next hour, we're going to talk a little bit about the quarterbacks at BYU and these interesting quarterback schools that have popped up, the quarterback whisperers, the guys that do so much work to get guys like Zach Wilson to the Jets as the number two pick, like John Beck did. We'll come back and talk about that and much more. The MVPs are right around the corner. Stay with us.
KSL's Unrivaled. The Unrivaled MVP. Scott and Alex crowned tonight's most valuable player. According to Scott.
Uh-huh. According to Alex.
Most valuable player.
All right, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey. I saw a thing earlier today. Of course, Ben Simmons is being vilified in the city of brotherly love. He's getting no love.
Boy, they don't. Yeah, that
he's
guy.
He's not even getting Kevin love. But and since I saw that, and they're like, okay, they're going to trade him, right?
I cannot see him going back to Philadelphia because the fan base will not accept.
That's the buzz right now. So I looked at this and I said, what about getting Ben Simmons to Utah? Is that even a possibility?
You shut your mouth about Ben Simmons coming here. Now, hold on a minute. The two best defensive players in the league?
Right.
Scott, come on, take a note.
And you have the two rookies of the year, you know?
Take note.
Ben Simmons 2 years in a row?
dude, just take some of your own advice on what you talk about with football. Yeah, it'd be nice to have a great defense, but wouldn't it be awesome to have amazing offense?
Well, the Jazz did Ben have Simmons, amazing offense.
Yeah, but you'd have to give up all these guys to get.
Well, you'd
have to
who would you give up?
You'd likely have to give up. It's hard to say these names out loud because it's weird. George Niang, I think, could be.
The Jazz are going to do something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Could you imagine Joe Ingles not here in Salt Lake? Could you imagine Joe not being here?
I could see Joe going.
But that's firepower. You're giving up three-point shooting, amazing three-point shooting, with Niang. You're giving up amazing three-point shooting. But, again, I don't know what you do.
I think the Jazz are bold enough.
No. He would never come here.
No,
he's too much of a dirtbag about it.
Well, yeah. I don't think he fits the culture here.
No.
You know? But the Jazz are bold enough to probably do nothing.
What does that mean?
Just keep the roster. Say, we believe in you guys.
That's not bold, Scott.
It is bold.
Bold. We talk about bold and stupid on the show. It's the latter.
Right.
It's not bold. But you can't just say, wow, they're so crazy. They did nothing this offseason.
That is crazy.
That is terrible.
I know. Of course it's terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not saying it's a good thing.
I don't
want
Ben Simmons here in Utah.
I'm not saying it's a good thing.
I don't want Ben Simmons here in Utah.
But the guy
a 34% free throw shooter
but
in the
isn't
playoffs?
That what the Jazz needed? Everyone said, we just did – our defense let us down. Our defense let us down.
Well, but they also needed to score. Yeah.
The Jazz need rangy, athletic wings.
So it was interesting as I was watching somebody talk about this, and they talked about the Jazz, and they said – the Jazz just, and I think Ben even mentioned this too, where he said, just get the best player available. Try to figure out a way to get the best player available. And I thought, who is the best player available? I don't know. Is that Mike Conley? Is that, they need that guard. So do you sign him back up? Do you spend $18 million? Can you even afford $18 million?
Gotta stay healthy.
Signing up guys that have had injury problems. I mean, the last 2 years he's been with the Jazz and he's earned $66 million in salary. He's missed a ton of basketball games, including the biggest ones. So
it hurts. It's
a bad deal. Scott, MVPs.
Yes.
You want to start up first on the old
MVPs
here?
How do I describe this MVP?
Okay.
It's a little vague. Let's just put it that way. Yeah. It's a little vague. It's not a person.
Oh, okay.
Right? It's not
a
even
feeling.
It's not a team.
Okay.
It's a sport.
Oh, okay.
So my MVP today is actually the game of golf.
Okay. You better explain yourself.
Well, I'm going to explain myself.
No, this is not well thought out.
Yes. So this is actually very well thought out. Okay. I lived in Orlando, Florida. I lived really close to a golf course. Had a golf cart with my golf clubs in.
Yeah.
And at nighttime, when no one was out, I would take my two youngest kids, Zach and Madison, and we would go out on the golf course and just play a couple of holes. It was just really fun to do. And they would probably they probably hit two or three shots. And then you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to go do snow angels in the sand traps, right? So I'm a golf purist.
You get, stay out of the sand traps. You...
But I didn't. I said, no. I wanted my kids to love golf. So I just let them, you guys go play, have a good time. And I just remember saying to myself, maybe one of my biggest wishes as a dad is that as I got older, I could play golf with my kids. And today I went and played golf and they actually played every hole and hit every shot and did not make one sand angel. Right. And I came to the realization that this dream I had as a young parent was actually coming true. And it was so much fun that I could have this experience with my kids today. And they loved it. We had a great time. And they're pretty good golfers, too. And it was just fun for me to be able to share a sport that I just love. And, you know, I can't go play football with my kids. I can't. There's a lot of other sports. But golf I can do. And I can do it for years to come. And it's a great opportunity to actually be able to spend this time with my kids. And and you just don't get it back. And so I had this amazing day with my kids playing the game of golf. So golf is my MVP today. How'd I do?
Uh,
That good, huh?
I'm just listen. I love your kids. I love that you love playing golf with them.
But you feel the same way about your kids, right? You play golf with your kids?
I do.
Why can't golf be an MVP?
It's more of a feeling. The MVP. Look, because it's got to be emphatic. Come on, man.
I thought that was pretty emphatic.
Amazing thing. And
folks, you can't see this, but Alex is actually tearing up.
I've teared up.
He was emotional when I was talking about stinging my kids. He's just trying to not show his feelings.
I should just roll out a big soccer MVP for you just to leave a really bitter taste in your mouth.
I just stopped listening.
I know. Let me see here. So the Holiday Bowl, by the way, this is an MVP.
Are you just coming up with this right now?
No, this is an honorable mention. Okay. I was gonna bring this up because the Holiday Bowl is gonna be starting. They're going down. They don't have a stadium right now,
so they're going to Tijuana.
I thought it'd be pretty amazing. Oh my goodness, the Holiday Bowl, quite a holiday in Tijuana, I'll tell you.
Brought to you by the Tijuana Chamber of Commerce.
Chamber of Commerce. Oh my goodness! If there's a Tijuana Chamber of Commerce, I will eat this hat tomorrow. I cannot
come to Tijuana. You get everything you can get in the U.S. Hi,
this is Tijuana. This is Scott Mitchell from the Tijuana Salt Lake Chamber speaking on business. But the Holiday Bowl is going to play at Petco Park. They're going to play on one of your favorite things, Scott, a baseball field.
That's where they're going to do it.
Yeah, they're going to do it there. My MVP is actually Chris Paul. He made it out of COVID-19 protocol, everybody. He doesn't have COVID-19 anymore. So Chris Paul, CP3, is going to be back.
That's your MVP?
Yes.
Why? Because you don't want the Clippers to win?
Because now I can officially hate the Suns.
Oh.
During the playoff. I don't like Chris Paul, man.
So you liked him until he got healthy.
Yeah, well, the Suns I was like kind of rooting for. Then when CP3 makes it back on the roster, and this is not – I'm not trying to be petty here. I just don't like Chris Paul.
It sounds a little petty.
He whines a lot. He whines a ton. Yeah.
His game's going to go down the tubes when they change these foul rules.
Well, I just think –
James Harden.
He's going to get that superstar treatment, man. He's like grandfathered into a bunch of old cruddy rules. The Hawks just took the lead for the first time since very early on in the game. They're up 72-71, by the way. But I just think Chris Paul makes it – him being in this thing is – villains are necessary is what I was going to say, Scott. And Chris Paul is my villain currently in the playoffs. The Hawks don't have a villain for me. I'm okay with Trae Young. The Bucks definitely don't have a villain for me. It's like the nice – Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton – I mean, I like all those guys. But the Suns now have a villain, which means that I have somebody to cheer against, which is what I need in the playoffs. I need somebody to cheer for, somebody to cheer against. And he made it out of COVID protocol. So there you go. Let's take the break here. When we come back, we've got our news, traffic, and weather right now. And then so you don't want to miss all the stuff that goes along with that, your little weather forecast and everything. And then on top of it, we've got ourselves the rest of the show to do. Second hour is going to bring you the conversation about quarterbacks and how they're changing their game with their quarterback coaches. And it's not the ones at their school that I'm talking about. Stay with us right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled. The teams you live for. The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us. Got a lot to get through still. Second hour of the show firing up here, so we're going to just kick things off here. Let's talk a little bit about the BYU quarterback situation. And then a phenomenon that's not just happening at BYU, but it's happened for a long time at a lot of schools, but it's become more and more prominent, and that is the quarterback whisperer and the quarterback expert, where these guys are getting their training during the offseason. Let's start right there. It's the 805 Cut. Let's do it.
The Cut at 805. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Scott, an interesting thing happening down in Provo at the three quarterback race where all the coaches have insisted all three of these guys could be the guy. That's a weird position to be in. At the same time, there are things that each one of these guys offer that the coaches kind of praise, and some guys obviously do things better than others. But in the end, on media day, we're interviewing all three of these guys, and in the end, they're teammates, but man, each one of these guys wants to start really badly. And so first I want to talk about that in the battle at quarterback. And it didn't seem like to me like these guys loved being around each other necessarily, or they were taking very seriously.
It might have been they just didn't love being in the media stuff.
Or been, yeah, with yeah, us. Like, I don't know how close they are, because in the end, they're in the same quarterback room, but only one guy is going to be the guy, and only one guy's life is going to change, you know, as it is. And the worst part about that is the thing where I say, yeah, but, you know, there's one quarterback, and you got these other two who are going to be sitting there. And everybody says, yeah, but out of the 130 Division I schools, there was only like 13 or 23 or 31 is a very low number of schools that ended with the same quarterback they started the season with. And I'm like, well, that's a bad excuse too. But I get you have to have a great backup.
What's hard with these players right now
mm-hmm.
is one of them is going to start, like you said.
Yeah.
But do you know what's going to happen? The other two aren't. And someone's probably going to leave. And it's just how college football
they
is today.
They already had to bag a pretty highly touted recruit who was the fourth guy.
Yeah.
And so that just happens. And then people are like, is he going to be a quarterback still? And people are like, well, no comment. They don't know.
It's just really hard. And so these guys are sitting there going, look, I don't need to be your buddy. Right. If these guys have their own personal quarterback coach, all three of the quarterbacks at BYU have their own personal quarterback coach. And that was a big deal for Zach Wilson a year ago. He drove all the way to Southern California during COVID, you know, and, had to hitchhike half the way there. but it's the commitment level that these players are making to get there. And they'll do whatever cost their parents, however they're getting, being able to pay these personal coaches, they're going to do it. I mean, this isn't about team. It's not about buddy buddy. It's about, you know, how do I improve and how do I make it happen for me?
Yeah, tell me because Jacob Conover is getting coached by Max Hall, also an Arizona guy, obviously. Max Hall and apparently Ty Detmer. And he's getting some coaching. And, you know, you have John Beck, who was coaching Zach Wilson, but he's also apparently coaching Jaren Hall.
And then there's the Carpenter guy.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Who apparently played in the NFL.
Well, okay, but that's fine. But I'm just saying that I wonder – I mean, these are not related to BYU at all. It's just guys that they personally go out with.
And they hire to train them.
Massive business for these other guys. Yeah. I just wonder if they
be fun to do, but I wouldn't want to do it.
I wonder, why wouldn't you want to do it? Coach these kids, tell them about it, kind of mentor them a little bit.
Part of it is this, to really make a difference with these players, you got to spend a lot of time with them. And it's a massive investment on the coach's side. And how do you make that work financially? I mean, it's tough. I mean, but And like you said, most of these players, they're not going to go play in the NFL. So, I don't know. You feel like you're taking people's money in some regards.
But there's also this thing where, like, now you can't be at this next level unless you are coached by your quarterback's coach at school, but also coached in the offseason by a quarterback coach.
It's part of why Zach Wilson gets drafted. It's part of why a lot of these players are so ready when they come to college. It's part of why they don't want to sit, because they've had this tutoring, they've had this development, and you know, it's a great thing. I mean, you'd be foolish not to do it. Imagine if you went out and you're working out, right? And you're like, I'm so dedicated. I'm up every morning. I'm throwing. I'm working on my footwork and all this stuff. And you're doing it by yourself, and you may be doing it completely wrong. So you're working really hard, and you're developing bad habits. And having that coach, that's why it's so great to have the coaches, Alex, is the coaches can watch them and say, okay, you're doing this right, you're doing this wrong. And they create scenarios as best that they can that are simulate game experience. And there's a lot of drills that they can work on and utilize. So these guys aren't just out doing something, because college football players have very little time with their coaches. Like, you don't get a lot of, right.
Well, especially if you got three quarterbacks, the one-on-one time is very limited.
But you don't get extra time outside of what the NCAA allows. So these guys, they've got to create those scenarios on their own, and And so you basically are going to be left behind if you don't have someone who's working on your skills and your mechanics and everything. And it shows in how much better the players are, and how, you know, they're just really prepared. You just have to do it.
I think about getting these guys extra coaching, and, you know, the quarterback school thing's interesting. And you think about, you know, I think John Beck went out to the draft with Zach Wilson, and that was a big deal because, you know, he taught him a lot, and I think he would. I just don't know what you're learning. Like, what are you learning from this extra coaching?
Well, it's not just so the fundamentals are part of it, which is really critical because you have to have that foundation. You know, everyone. You know, you hear this, oh, he throws the ball so well off of platform. Well, you a lot of time you have to be on platform, and whatever that means. And you
it's
just
a traditional throw.
Yeah, right. And that you still have to make and execute the elementary play. Like you cannot miss that. And if you don't have good fundamentals, you're just going to be really inconsistent. And it gets accentuated in the NFL because everything's sped up. But it's also understanding situations. It's understanding how to manage the football. It's understanding and reading defenses, and you know, because in the NFL it's complicated and it's not going to change. So understanding just having a sense for the game and having someone talk to you who understands that, and really the only one who really understands it is someone who's played the position and had those experiences, and that's invaluable. But Alex, that stuff you have to spend so much time with a guy,
yeah,
in order to share. I mean, it's years sharing information. I think about me out. I started going to football camps when I was like in the sixth grade.
Yeah.
And I was being taught by NFL players and that philosophy at that young of an age. I didn't realize what I was gaining, but it was a massive understanding, and it made a huge difference in me being able to go and play in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean,
and that was in the 80s.
Looking at what Zach Wilson did, and it became a story because, oh, he went and hung out with John Beck all the times in California, and we all kind of joked about it. In the end, he's the number two pick overall, and it was a massive jump from one year to the next. I mean, like, he made a huge improvement from one year to the next.
All but right. That was years and years of jumping. You know, that it just builds on itself.
Let's take the break here. We've got Sam Farnsworth wandering into the studio at some point from KSL5 Television. We've got questions for him. I think we should ask him that question you asked about whether or not getting Ben Simmons here would be total blasphemous rumors. Let's take the break. We'll come back. Hey, Atlanta's up 5 on Milwaukee with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter, 90-85. We'll take the break here. Come back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
All righty, sports fans. Welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, and Sam Farnsworth from KSL TV has now joined us, and we're watching the Eastern Conference Finals, and it's actually making me disgusted.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because the Jazz could beat either one of those teams.
Oh, they did.
And you're just like, oh, come on. Like, I know they got to get past the Clippers and they got to get past the Phoenix Suns, but,
I think Trae Young has 40 points, like, with like 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So he's having quite a game. And the Hawks are up in game one. I mean, this is on a crazy tear for these guys.
The game's in Milwaukee.
If Nate McMillan does this, if they pull this off and they go to the finals and they win this thing, that might be one of the great coaching feats of all time.
He should have been coach of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give it to the Knicks.
Definitely better than Tom Thibodeau.
We were talking a few minutes ago before I joined you guys back in our sports department, how the biggest, the hardest thing about the Jazz losing is you can associate so many what ifs with this, right?
Yeah.
If they were healthy. Because if they were healthy, if Donovan's not hurt and Mike Conley's not hurt and they lose to the Clippers, you're like, okay, well, they lost, they are, you know, there's obviously some problems. But it's hard to say that with this team, even though I know a lot of Jazz fans have taken to Twitter and other avenues to express their, you know, this has to be fixed, we got to change this, got to change that. Fact of the matter is, you didn't have a 100% Donovan or Mike Conley,
yeah,
right? And if you do, maybe we're talking about, hey, you know, Hawks and Bucks are teams they can beat in the finals.
When they stuck it to the Bucks like earlier in the year,
stuck it to the Bucks.
When they really, they beat them up over here across the street,
mm-hmm.
and they were like, and Giannis, I think they won by 35 or something like that. Yeah. And Giannis was like, this team,
they just look like they're having fun. Yeah, it's amazing.
It was like early on in the season, the Jazz had, you know, they peaked early. It seemed like I don't know what, because they were doing so well.
The All-Star game. But whatever game that was.
It was just so interesting to see, like, they were already at a point where they could have even gone to some insane level. So, yeah, the injuries obviously don't help, but
I think it's when Shaq called out Donovan Mitchell. I think it hurt the Jazz's feelings. I don't think they got
it. Hey, it's Shaq. Hey, Donovan, it's Shaq. I don't think you're a superstar. I think you're okay.
Like that, I mean, that kind of stuff, it's fine. Right. Shaq says that kind of garbage, it's fine.
I wanted you to hear it from me before you heard it from somewhere else.
We're asking questions here. We're asking tough questions to you, right? Mm. Could Ben Simmons ever end up in a Jazz uniform?
That's funny. We were having that conversation this afternoon, too. Yeah. So I looked at one of our sports producers, and I'm like, who? Ben Simmons. Like, because
they don't want him in Philadelphia.
You're talking about, and I bit my tongue before I said this because I realized the one flaw with him in the Jazz system is that he can't shoot, right? And you want when Rudy's on the floor, the other four guys are all supposed to be able to shoot when they get the ball.
Adding more defense to the team and going, oh, we needed to. You'd have to give up so much offense to get that one defender.
But okay, you know what? That's the kind of guy you want is a tall guy that's athletic, that can handle the ball, that can be a perimeter defender. If he could shoot too, Ben Simmons would be the perfect fit for this Jazz system.
But you know what? George Niang couldn't shoot.
Ben Simmons isn't going to come off the bench for 15 minutes.
But they were like 40% from three during the regular season. Then. You know,
do we care about
that? No, I'm just saying that, like, we wouldn't have thought that they had gone into the postseason and then suddenly, you know, shot 2 for 14 or whatever George was in the playoffs. But it's one of those things that seems blasphemous to talk about. But at the same time, if the Jazz are in the market for the best player available for them, would he be it? I don't know. He doesn't have that quote unquote Jazz DNA that they talk about, because he's talked too much trash about how much he hates Utah and hates all the stuff going on here. But if you talk about a guy, that tune will change quickly if they will pay you to go somewhere.
100%.
No one likes the guy in Philadelphia.
Do you think Jazz fans would like him?
No.
You think he could?
No. If two Aussies though on the team? Huh?
What do you mean they could?
Here's the thing, and I love this about sports in general, right? Whether it's the NFL, baseball, basketball, it doesn't matter. You can have enemy number one, whether it's Russell Westbrook or Ben Simmons or whoever it is Jazz fans don't like.
Right.
The moment they say, hey, you know, maybe I'd like to play at the Jazz, and something works out and they sign that player and come over, suddenly he's their favorite. Oh, we love Ben Simmons. He's the best. He's a, you know, whatever it is. It doesn't matter who the guy is. If you find a way to put him in your team's uniform, you're a fan. I don't care how bad you hated him.
I agree. I wouldn't it be fun to get like James Harden and Chris Paul and Ben Simmons in Jazz uniforms?
Amazing.
I don't know that we could handle that. Actually, I really
there's some guys.
There's got to be a limit to it.
The person that would never be in a Jazz uniform ever, and we could never accept it, Vernon Maxwell. That's a guy that we would have never been able to.
He's said some nice things about Utah this year, which kind of surprised me. But
After Mark Eaton passed away, he was very nice. Yeah.
I agree. Here's the other side of it, though. You bring a guy in that you're excited about. The moment that player starts to
fizzle,
tear apart your locker room a little bit.
Right.
Suddenly, enemy number one. Get him out of here as fast as you can. Remember Mark Jackson when he came to the Jazz?
Yeah.
A lot of people like that idea. I mean, you got the number one and number two all-time assist guys on your roster, but then Mark Jackson started saying stuff like, "Hey, you know, if I was starting and running the ball more than John Stockton, you'd be getting." He would say stuff like that to Andre Kirilenko. Yeah. Suddenly, it's like, "Whoa,
so get him out! Locker room
get him
lawyer.
Out!" Right? So. Yeah. So, yeah, obviously, they've got to be a good fit, not just for what you're doing on the court. The Jazz have that's one thing the Jazz had a really good deal with this year. It was a good locker room.
I don't care if they hate each other in the locker room.
I just want them to win, baby.
Like, I get all these nice guys. Oh, we have such good chemistry. We get along. We actually talk on the airplane.
Yeah, but
together.
Do they like each other? Are they nice to each other?
They don't have to go hang out or anything. But
do you really think Donovan and Rudy like each other though?
No,
but you know what? They're not like buddies or anything. But they work together. They understand. Yeah. Hey, we're coworkers, and we're gonna.
That's a lot like what you and I.
Other. We're gonna do well.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Oh, I understand that. Yeah.
As soon as it's off air, I don't even look it's at like, you. Just walk straight out, put my headphones on. Yeah. You can be talking to me, but I'm out.
See you tomorrow.
Okay. Again. Those were questions that we had just on our mind. I'm glad we're kind of tapped into you guys because you had the same questions. All right. Team USA basketball, the roster gets released. We become U.S. Team USA fans. Is this team still odds-on favorite to win the gold? Even with this roster, I mean, you don't have the best guys on there that you could have gotten. But you still have Kevin Durant, best basketball player overall probably in the world.
Yeah.
You have Damian Lillard. I mean, I like just those two guys and then just see what you can do. But, I mean, you got guys like Chris Middleton. I think Trae Young was on the list too. So you have – you have guys that that can absolutely get this thing done, but is Team USA still the odds-on favorite to win this gold this year?
They should always be the favorite because we do have the best basketball players in the world. However, if you're not putting all the best basketball players on the team, and I understand why, especially in a year like this year where most of the superstars are dealing with injuries, then it's not the same as it was in 92 and in 96 and even in 2000. You know, it's just not the same anymore. But
2000, they lost, by the way.
Yeah,
well,
right.
It's Steph Curry's.
But
not
you still
Steph opted out. So did
he's
Donovan.
Been out of the playoffs forever. Anyways,
Scott,
sorry.
Just respect his decision. Right. He's playing for Canada. End of discussion.
I mean, shoot, you still have the best players in the world. And I know the world has got great basketball players too. And so it's not going to be like a walkover. You're not going to blow teams out every single night.
But we want that though.
That's what
we really do.
That's what
we,
USA fans want.
They really do. They just want blowouts.
We were spoiled in 92 and 96.
Blow
you know what out. Stinks about the lottery? I was thinking about the lottery too. The Jazz had the best record in the NBA, but only got to the Western Conference semis. So they have the last pick.
And they still
in the
get the last
round.
Pick. And yeah. I was talking about that today.
Should be how you exit the
playoffs. Because that's how it is in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
And I totally thought it was that way in the basketball until I looked today and I was like, wait, they have the 30th
That's a real
pick.
Gut punch, man. Ugh. That's a real gut punch.
See, you're not incentivized to win during the regular season. I mean,
you know what?
What's the advantage?
What's the point?
And you know what? The Jazz, if they could probably trade that pick down two or three spots into the second round, get an extra pick. It's not like it's going to make – by the time you get to pick number 30 in the first round, it's no different from pick 40 in the second round, really.
Would you be okay with Joe Ingles not being a part of this Jazz team? Give him up maybe for something else you need there on the wing?
Yes. It would be hard for Jazz fans. Joe Ingles is a part of the Utah Jazz family. He'll always have a place in fans' hearts.
He's a community guy, too.
Yep, and he is. And so that's one of those guys you want to keep forever, but you will hit that crossroads one day where you got to make a tough decision.
I don't want to be nice anymore.
You got
to
win.
Let's win.
What do you have going on tonight on Sports Beat? Got the play. I'm assuming some of these playoffs.
Game one of Eastern Conference. We also got RSL playing in Seattle against the Sounders, top team in MLS, the Sounders. So see if RSL can pull that off.
Sam, we appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
We'll talk to you again. All right. Take the break here. News, traffic, and weather when we come back. NFL Roundup, 2-minute drill right around the corner. Stay with us.
This hour of the program was recorded this very afternoon, and you're the first person to hear it. Congratulations.
KSL's Unrivaled. The Unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium Grade A pro football stories from your two hosts, a former NFL quarterback and the other guy. It's the Unrivaled NFL Roundup.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. It's what is this?
It's KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled.
Your name is Alex Geary. My name is Scott Mitchell.
Got it.
Yes.
Thank you. Sometimes I need those reminders. Scott's supposed to be 82 tomorrow's a high.
That's it?
I know. I just please
wimpy.
Do it.
That's wimpy.
No, I want it. I'm saying there could be some thunderstorms.
Really?
I want some rain coming down. I want
thunderstorms. I just want torrential downpour.
Yeah. So I want summer. Yeah. I want that soaked. Summer thunderstorm that is like, it makes the whole street smell like the dry dust that it's washing off. You know, I love that. Please dump the rain on us tomorrow. Please. We're getting going in the program. I've actually been really excited about this segment because the NFL roundup, of course, we dive into these NFL topics. And one thing that we're fascinated to see how this is going to unfold is the Jets' experience with Zach Wilson and see where they go. I don't know how long the leash is going to be on Robert Sala, on Matt LaFleur, on all these on everything that they've done.
Three to 4 years.
Okay, so
I mean, that's really all it is. These coaches get 3 to 4 years.
I want to see
if
what they
show
get.
Something, then it's five.
So the Jets released this 4-part docuseries.
Can I just make one comment about that?
Yeah.
Every coach gets fired.
No, I know.
I mean, really, eventually, most of them. I should say, get fired.
I was thinking about your former coach and who passed away recently,
Jim Fossil,
yeah. Who, you think. Unceremoniously fired from Utah, wins a Super Bowl a couple decades later.
Yeah.
And you go, well, what happened? Was he a bad coach at Utah? He's like, no, it's always
young.
Just they're always going through that right. revolving door.
And
of
they learn. These coaches learn all along the way.
So if you go to KSLSports.com, you can read this article. It's fascinating that the Jets have released this 4-part docuseries kind of their offseason. After they hired Robert Saleh and the walk up to the draft, and Scott and I watched a good chunk of this today together, not like the full 4-part series. We didn't binge watch it during our show prep, but we did watch a considerable amount of just like kind of sampling some of the things. One of the ones that we were I skipped ahead to one of the episodes where they talked about Zach Wilson, and it was a fascinating thing because they jump into the moment where the phone call is made from their general manager, Joe Douglas, and Robert Saleh and some of the other guys on the Jets staff and ownership and things like that before the draft. Obviously, it's stuff that after the draft, basically they have all this video, and then they go back and go, we're going to give you some insight as to how we made this decision with Zach Wilson. It is fascinating, Scott. I haven't
seen
anybody else do this.
No, I never have, and you really need to check it out because it's quite compelling. The thing that really stood out to me is the access the Jets were giving to people, because people like to kind of
keep it all in house.
Yeah, we don't want you to peek behind the green
curtain.
Don't
mess with my
process. No, they don't want people. They don't want to know their secrets. They don't. And I was impressed. I was actually starting to become a Jets fan just from watching.
I'm not kidding.
They have a plan. You can tell the Jets, the coach, the GM. All these people, they have a plan, and you get a sense they're all in sync with that, and that's what it takes. It takes an organizational effort in order for things to change. You saw that happen to the Patriots 20 years ago. Perennial loser. I mean, they weren't a very good team, and then all of a sudden and who knows? I mean, and maybe Zach Wilson's a part of it.
Well, I wanted to play just a little chunk where they actually made the phone call right before the draft pick had happened. And again, these phone calls, you just see them on video usually.
Right.
And they have masks on too.
Right.
So you're like, well, of course we're not going to know anything these guys are saying. The Jets afterward released that phone call. And it was just so cool to have that back and forth conversation. Here was the night of the draft, the actual phone call made to Zach Wilson when he was drafted by the Jets. Robert Saleh, Joe Douglas, some of these other brass with the Jets here. Take a listen.
What's up, Zach? Joe Douglas.
Joe, how you doing?
No, I'm good, man. I'm good. How's your day been?
It's been exciting. I've had a blast.
We're not going to draft
cool
you.
About our job is we get to share in one of the greatest moments that these kids get to experience, and the fact that they've worked their whole life trying to achieve a childhood dream.
Hey, bro, congratulations, man. It's freaking awesome.
Thanks, Coach.
Hey.
I'm pumped.
You know how exciting this is, man. I'm pumped for you. I'm pumped for your family. The biggest thing I want to tell you, just remember this. This organization is going to lift you out the other way around. You feel me? This
yes,
is all
sir.
About just enjoy this day. What a freaking moment. What a freaking moment. It's going to be all gas from here on out. You feel me?
Yes, sir.
We are all excited to welcome you to New York Jets family.
Pretty cool to see that behind-the-scenes thing.
Yeah. And the thing that really stood out to me was Zach Wilson's, like, awesome.
Great
day,
man.
Yes, sir. And part of it is, I'm sure he's in shock, right? Because it is. It's an incredible moment. But it's also, I don't want to say too much here.
Right.
Right? Because you picked me, and I don't want to give you any reason to, like, say, second guess yourself or just, you know.
But, you know, he's...
Because Zach goes, yeah, man, I was out celebrating, and I was on my longboard going down the canyon. I broke my arm, my throat, you know, I'll probably be out. He didn't want to tell him any of that stuff.
Those off-platform throws aren't going to happen nearly as well. But
we celebrated by going skydiving, you know, kind of thing. It's like, don't say anything.
That's part of it.
Zach Wilson's very smart here. He's learned this.
And he knew everybody, too. Like, everybody's calling him. They'd obviously had a lot of conversations.
Oh, yeah.
They kind of revealed, like, they had a bunch of Zoom meetings with him. They're talking to him about throws that he's making, bad throws that he's making in games. What was your thought process here? The growing from freshman, sophomore to junior year. And so they did their homework, not just on their number two pick. They did their homework on this guy, hoping that he was going to be – you pointed something out, too, because they had to bring up the part where Sam Darnold was –
They had to let a good person go. And Joe Douglas said, look – I love Sam, and I love the person. I love the fight. I loved all of that. But the reality is, when you get a new coach, a new organization, it's clean house. Like, you don't want any baggage. You don't want any potential scars from anything. It's really scorch the earth, clean it out, and start fresh. And we're going to go out, we're going to evaluate, and we're going to find our guy, whether he's better or worse than Sam Darnold. He's our guy, and we're going to win or lose with our guy and vet out on our own process. That's not an unusual thing to have happen, and it's not an indictment on Sam Darnold. Doesn't mean he's going to be good or bad, so... You just want to know and feel confident that you have your guy, because they can take Zach Wilson now and they can mold him in their culture and not have any residual from the ghost that Sam Darnold used to see on the field.
You always bring that up where he says, "I'm seeing ghosts out there."
Funny thing.
That's the beginning of the end for a guy when
he says usually, that. Usually when I felt that was like in preseason. It was like the first preseason game you felt, because you're not used to the tempo of everything, because you just practice and you don't have a chin strap in practice. You don't ever get hit. And then you go in a game and you're like, whoa, this is fast. And it does. It feels like it's going by you.
And you will be hit.
Right. And you do get hit. Yeah. And then you watch the game film and then you're fine after the first preseason game. So when he's seeing ghosts in the middle of the season, it's like this guy does not prepare and he's not ready to play.
They talk about how – I mean, they break down this full thing. That's why go to KSOsports.com and just find the article that Mitch Harper wrote up, because I think that it's good for you to like really dig into what went behind the pick that was made. Sorry, Kyle Ireland put it together for us on KSOsports.com. But the all four of the episodes are right there. You can stream them all. They're about 25 to 30 minutes a piece. And I hate to do this to you. If you watch it, you're going to become a Jets fan.
Yeah, it's good.
And it's mostly just because it's a bunch of guys who are earnestly – I'm talking about the coaching staff.
Right.
They're just, like, earnestly trying to make, like, the best decisions possible. And like you said, the clean slate thing is happening, right, where they said it's not Sam Darnold going out because we don't like him as a person, or even that he doesn't have the arm talent or blah, blah, blah. It was we're bringing a new coach in, we're bringing a new system in, and we have to get a fresh start. Otherwise, we'll never be able to see really what we have going on here. So I'm interested to see, and I'm. It makes you kind of go, "Oh yeah, I guess we can watch these guys." And you know who the behind the scenes guys are with the Jets now. Every team needs to do this. Make your own. What's the HBO series? Make your own.
Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks. Yeah, then we can kind of go, "Hey, I like this team."
Well, one of the things is, look, the Jets have to promote a product. I mean, they have a jilted fan base for years, and so they really have to say, folks, we're gonna show you what goes into all this. I think it's a brilliant move by the Jets in like building and winning back a fan base. If you think of Urban Meyer when he came to Utah, he got on tracks, he was driving around, he was getting out in
went to
and
Lagoon.
I mean, and that's what you have to do. You have to build that interest. I mean, here we are in Utah. Of course, it's Zach Wilson. This is interesting, and any NFL fan would actually like this.
So go check it out. Go to KSLSports.com. You can see the story that Kyle Ireland wrote up and the ability to stream them right there on YouTube. So we'll take the break here. We'll come back. 2 Minute Drill next right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
All right, folks. Welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey. Hey, look, if you're in your car and you're about ready to get out, don't worry. You can, you're not going to miss any of our show. You can download the KSL Sports app and get our show for free. That's right. All you got to do is just download it where you download and get your apps. And it's the KSL Sports app. And then you can listen to us whenever, wherever, and however. When, oh, yeah. Where, how, why, and you know what. What?
What is that?
I don't know. It's the thing the kids do these
okay,
days.
Okay, I got a lot of stuff. We do have a lot of stuff to get through here.
Okay,
we do have a ton
let's
of
get through
here.
It then.
So let's get to our music here. What do we do? 2 Minute Drill means we do something special here at the end of the show, doesn't
we
it?
We do. Late in a football game, you got to go down the field. Kick field goal, score a touchdown, don't have a lot of time. So you got to hurry. Our show's the same way. Got a lot to talk about, not a lot of time. So we talk a little bit about a lot of things. Hurry up, finish the show. We get a trophy because everyone goes home happy today because we participate. Be a participant, not a participant spectator. And you get a trophy. Shoot, they give everyone a trophy. And you get a COVID shot if you want one of those, or two of them, quite frankly. It's better if you get two, and then you get a free donut.
Scott, BYU has this game that's floating out that they never got to play with Notre Dame. They had a 2-for-1 settled with Notre Dame.
The old twofer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Notre Dame got their two.
Right.
It was a back-to-back home
game. Twofer.
Games.
So two and
they
got oh.
Fur.
Two.
Right.
So the twofer.
They got the twofer.
We got two, you got the fur.
Two for none.
Yeah, yeah. Twofer.
So I went to those two games back in 12 and 13. And BYU lost both of those games, and they were both cold weather. One was close. The other one was not as close, but then you're kind of going, okay, nice. And then when's Notre Dame going to come play here? Now, when I was in school at BYU as a student, they played Notre Dame. And that's a special thing because BYU doesn't – I mean, it's these two independents. They're both highly religious, you know, institutions.
Right.
And so you kind of have this thing like, we kind of should play each other periodically, right? There's like this feeling of, come on, man. Like, let's.
I think it's more BYU maybe feeling like they should play each other.
Oh, absolutely.
But I will tell you this.
But Notre Dame has always ghosted them on this game.
Yeah.
But they might be getting close to doing something with them.
Yeah, that's, you know how that is.
Yeah.
That's Notre Dame teasing BYU. It's
wow.
Like it's like we don't have anything better to do in this offseason. We don't have to deal with the COVID so much. So let's just, you know what, let's do something for fun and let's just kind of pump BYU again
and
make them think that there's a chance here.
We may be interested in something you've got
going on. From my perspective, I'm like, who really cares? Like it feels like the BYU faithful are just dying to have Notre Dame come to BYU.
Well, they owed it. It's on the contract. So they
right.
either owe you money, and that's the thing, is
yeah,
that
but
Notre Dame.
It's Notre Dame,
okay,
Alex.
But let me,
Notre Dame goes, we don't care.
I know. BYU's going.
What are you going to do about it?
You don't
it?
Have a lot of cachet when you're going to Southern or Georgia Southern this year. You're playing at Georgia Southern.
Yeah.
So here's what Tom Holmo had to say on BYU Sports Nation.
Let me tell you, there's been some really good discussions with Notre Dame. Years past, it has been crickets on the set. But I would say that there are good discussions. I think we're getting close to being able to put together a game that would benefit both of our schools.
Does that sound like Tom Holmo
looks like Lavelle.
He's starting to
look a little bit like Lavelle.
But I was going to say this about when this sounded eerily like when we say we're having some productive talks with Russia right now.
Right.
You're yeah. like,
Or yeah.
is it really?
North
is it
Korea.
Really? Right, or North Korea.
Yeah.
You go, are you really?
Yeah.
Are you really good? Oh, yeah.
Well,
no,
we called them up on the phone and they answered.
Yeah.
And they said, no, sorry, wrong number. But,
I just think it's funny because they go, we've had some interesting conversations.
They picked up the phone.
So one of the conversations that they've had apparently has been that BYU and Notre Dame could maybe meet at a neutral site. It's like Notre Dame does not want to come to Provo at all.
I don't know
which
why.
Is a bummer.
Yeah.
But they want to do a neutral site, and then they would still owe BYU some money because technically it wouldn't have been a two for one. It'd be a two and a half.
Right.
So I think this
heifer.
It's a game that
it's a two heifer.
It's just it's a game that is highly sought after by BYU fans, like you said. But it's funny in years that you watch, Notre Dame play New Mexico or Wyoming at their
right.
place, and you kind of go. Come on, you're playing all these other teams. Come out to Provo
When we've gone to the Pac-12 Media Day, what do these players talk about from USC and Stanford?
Playing Notre Dame.
They love to play. They love that rivalry. I mean, they have a conference, and they have inter-conference rivals.
Yeah.
And they're kind of on the big stage, but Notre Dame, so I get it. I get why BYU would want to play. I really do. And I hopefully they can figure something out. And really, quite frankly, hopefully they can figure something out that brings Notre Dame to Provo. Notre Dame just feels like we've got so many rivals right now. We can't take on another one.
David Shaw, head coach of Stanford, as we just mentioned them, it made me think of this. He's not real happy with some of the times that are being suggested for some of these kickoffs, and also that they have to go out. He said I'm mad at Fox for our kickoff time against Kansas State. And he said that about some of the other kicks. Some of these early kicks going out. It says the game will start at 10 a.m. in Palo Alto. So it's a 10 a.m. game for them, for their bodies. I don't know. I mean, I look at that and go, yeah, if you're not used to playing at those times, doesn't that make a difference?
I'm shocked that David Shaw would feel this way.
Why?
Well,
because he's reasonable usually.
No, because, right, exactly. I mean, this is a sharp guy. This is a guy who's done very well at Stanford, a hard place to coach and win. The Pac-12 is trying to change its image. It's trying to be relevant. There's a lot of discussion about having early kicks for conference games, and And Coach Whittingham says, I'd rather play early in the morning. It's like, we're up. We might as well go play. I mean, I don't know how that early kickoff. I mean, it's 10 o'clock in the morning.
The
it's
waiting
not,
around is
it's
a
not
lot,
like
too.
4 in the morning. I'd rather get – I'm with Coach Whittingham. I'd rather get out on the field and play and go as opposed to sitting around a hotel until, you know, zero dark 30 so we can go play and nobody on the East Coast is watching. When I saw this, I was actually surprised – at David Shaw that he would actually even really say anything. And now, on top of all of this, his team in their head goes, man, our coach doesn't even want us to play this, or, you know. And so they'll end up showing up at that halftime. I mean, why even bring it up, at least publicly? You know, talk about it privately. It makes no sense
to me. Think that there is an interesting thing where what this shows me is that the Pac-12 gets pushed around quite a bit. I mean, like, they don't have a lot to say. If Alabama said, I don't like that kick time, you're going to see some more movement on that. In this case, I'm on David Shaw's side, because if you're kicking off at 10 a.m. or I think it was, didn't they have a 9:30 kickoff, a couple of 9:30 kickoffs last year?
Yes.
You have those early games.
Doing
and then the
radio stuff, I loved it.
I know, you love it. Yeah, awesome. You love it. But the late games, the 8:30 kickoff the next week, that's quite the whiplash, like you getting ready and playing a game until 12:30 at night. So I think that I know these kids are ready to play whenever, and these coaches can coach whenever.
I don't know about that, but
what you,
I think people get in a routine, and I think that's what David Shaw is kind of saying.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, it's hard. It's hard to make that adjustment.
Scott, 10,000 fans, up to 10,000 fans are going to be allowed at indoor and outdoor events at the Olympics, which is nice, good news. They must wear masks. It's recommended that people who attend events go straight home afterward.
Because we're going to be watching you. We have all of you like on a
go straight
a chip.
Home. No
Everyone
coughing.
Has a chip.
No coughing. But here's my favorite. They will not be allowed to cheer. It's like singing at church, Scott. You can't sing at church. You're going to pass the COVID around. Now, cheering and singing was found to be, like, screaming at a sporting event was found to spread. The particulates out in the.
See, with the mask on, how can you really tell if anyone's cheering? Anyways,
that's what they're just saying. They're not. Well, no, because you still be able to hear them.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So you're going to be
so
these
the
events.
The hearing part really gives
well,
you
I'm
COVID,
just saying,
right?
You're going to be the event. No, I'm saying.
Well, then wear earplugs if you want, if you're
no,
concerned.
You're not going to. So these guys, they're going to be at events, and they're going to be people in the stands, and they're not going to be making a sound when you win the gold medal.
Right, I know.
That's so weird.
Wear a mask and a shield, and you're fine. With Andy Reid shield and
yes,
a mask.
Yes,
and you're gold.
For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Curie. Did you have fun tonight, Scott?
I did. Thank
As
you
always.
Very much. Yes.
Thank you very much. We'll be back tomorrow for a Thursday edition of the program. For Scott, I'm Alex. We'll see you then, everybody.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.